Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Modene. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you so much to Gugu. She'll be back on Monday at 6 o'clock. I want us to just quickly go through what's going to be coming up on the show. As usual, Leroy Mark will be here, and Dr. Sheldon Rochalil will also be here. And then we're going to go to the city of Ekurhuleni for their State of the City address. But I want to start here with the summit that started today. It's a two-day summit. It's a water and sanitation Indaba at the Gallagher Estate. Was also headed by the president's address. We'll try and see if we can't get you that clip. But let's talk to Dr. Sean Phillips, who's the Director General at the Department of Water and Sanitation. Thank you very much, DG, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to Mello and good evening to your listeners.
I want us to perhaps start with what necessitated the Indaba in the first place.
Okay, thank you. So in 2023, we released what we call our Blue, Green and No-Drop reports, which are very detailed, comprehensive assessments of the performance of municipal drinking water and wastewater systems. We hadn't done those kind of assessments for 10 years. The last time we did them was in 2014.
Mm.
And when we released those results, they showed that there'd been quite a sharp deterioration in the performance of municipalities with regard to water and sanitation services over that 10-year period.
Mm.
So as a result of that, after we released those results in December 2023, we called a water services summit in January of last year, 2024, where we went through the results of those assessments with all the water services authorities in the country, which are the municipalities which have the water function, understand to reach consensus as to what has been the causes of this decline in water and sanitation service delivery at municipal level and reach consensus on what needs to be done about it.
Mm.
So in 2014, that summit agreed on a range of resolutions, 25 general resolutions for the whole conference, and then also resolutions specific to different groups of municipalities depending on their performance.
Mm.
So what we're doing now at this Indaba is we are looking in detail with the municipalities at how far they've gone in actually implementing those resolutions we took in January 2014. With regard to the general resolutions, of those 25, 15 have been implemented, and nine are still in implementation, and one hasn't been implemented. The one that hasn't been implemented is a resolution that the Department of Cooperative Governance should lead a process of reviewing which municipalities have the water function and perhaps changing the municipalities. In some areas of the country, the district municipality has the water function and the local municipalities don't, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the resolutions that were taken relate to things that need to be done by the national government.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a resolution that we need to find a way of introducing a measure so that revenue that municipalities get from the sale of water is ring fenced for spending on the water function.
Yeah.
And that is one of the ones that's been implemented.
Yeah.
There was another resolution that all the municipalities must develop corrective action plans to address the issues found in the Blue, Green and No-Drop assessments.
Mm.
And most of the municipalities have submitted corrective action plans, but they need to make more progress in terms of accelerating the implementation of those plans.
Mm. You know, one of the things that came out, although it was obviously quite in the early stages of the summit, was that while there are these resolutions that municipalities have adopted, the implementation, as you're pointing out, is rather slow. Why is that the case in your assessment?
There's a variety of different reasons why it's the case. So, for example, one of the things that municipalities need to do, one of the most important things they need to do is to reduce their non-revenue water.
Mm.
And there's a range of different things that they should do to reduce non-revenue water.
Mm.
For example, they might not have sufficient maintenance teams to go and fix leaks quickly, or they might not be, the council might not have allocated or voted for sufficient funds for those maintenance teams. Mm-hmm. They may also have to replace old broken pipes, and they may not have enough money for that.
Yeah.
And then they, another good way of reducing non-revenue water is to put in place pressure reduction valves and then reduce the pressure in the pipes at night so that less water leaks out of the pipe at night. So none of these things are things that can be done overnight. Mm. Unfortunately, many of the municipalities are caught in a vicious downward spiral now where they have high non-revenue water, which means that they don't have enough money to do proper maintenance and repairs yeah. to their infrastructure, which in turn results in more leaks,
yeah.
which in turn results again in more non-revenue water.
Yeah.
So we need to get them out of that vicious downward spiral.
Yeah.
And I think some of them are struggling to get out of it.
Yeah. There has been a call for perhaps more involvement by the provincial government to support the municipalities that are struggling. As you're saying, I mean, it seems to be like a vicious cycle. They had money. They had to now return it back to Treasury because, you know, they couldn't use some of the grants as well. And so it goes. And so the money isn't there anymore. What's the involvement and commitments by the provinces?
It varies from province to province. For example, here in Gauteng, the provincial government is playing a crucial role in dealing with the water supply problems that we've been having in Gauteng and in Johannesburg.
Mm.
So particularly MEC Mamabolo from the Provincial Department of Cooperative Governance is regularly meeting with all the mayors and his officials are participating in technical meetings in which we and Rand Water participate together with the technical officials of the municipalities. And both he and his department are playing a very important role in terms of pushing the municipalities to do what needs to be done, monitoring that they do it, and mobilizing political support for addressing these issues.
Mm. So, you know, we're here now where there are these, as you said, the back and forth, but what seems to be coming through a lot, all the way from the top, is the issue of corruption. Are we getting somewhere with that, with all the commitments that are coming through? Is there an improvement, at least, even if it's just by a small margin?
Well, let's talk firstly about corruption that's occurred at national level, including the water boards that,
yes,
which are under
yes.
my department.
Yes.
In that regard, we have made progress. We're collaborating with the Special Investigating Unit.
Mm.
The Minister mentioned in her speech
yeah.
today that the SIU has helped us to get back about 450 million rand
yes.
That was irregularly taken from the department through corrupt procurement processes.
Mm.
There's been a number of dismissals, and the SIU is pursuing criminal action against a number of people in the water boards. There has been a lot of progress in that regard. And if you look at a graph of my department's irregular expenditure over time, you'll see that our irregular expenditure has come right down over the last 3 years.
Mm.
But at municipal level, it's different. If you look at the Auditor General reports, they indicate that there hasn't yet been, generally speaking, there hasn't yet been a marked improvement in reducing irregular expenditure and unauthorized expenditure at municipal level. And if you look at the National Treasury reports as well, they show that as many as 60% of municipalities are on a very dire financial situation.
Mm.
So the picture is different at municipal level. The trouble with answering that question is that the only way to objectively measure whether corruption is increasing or decreasing is through these audit reports, but also to get convictions and arrests.
Mm.
So, for example, there's a lot of rumors and speculation on social media about water tanker operators criminal mafias may be operating with water tankers and deliberately sabotaging water infrastructure so that they can get more contracts. But it's very difficult to say the extent to which that's happening because there's also a lot of theft of metal infrastructure. So it's difficult to know when theft and damage occurs to water infrastructure. Is it because people are just stealing metal to resettle it? Or is it water tanker operators who are deliberately sabotaging it to get more contracts?
And what about, you know, law enforcement and the intelligence? And I know the, there's mention of the fact that they, you are working together with the SIU now with a concrete plan to try and do some of this work, the, this groundwork of investigating these corrupt people.
Yes, the SIU is working with us on investigating past corruption cases, but we're also collaborating with the police and with the Hawks. The police have set up new units to deal with the so-called corruption mafia and criminal syndicates operating in the construction industry, and we're working closely with them so that we can now, when, for example, we, some of our projects get disrupted by people demanding payments, we have a quick line of contact with senior police officers so we can try and nip these things in the bud.
Yeah, it's quite a... Are you optimistic, Dr. Phillips? It's, you know, the reason I ask, it's not that, not for lack of trying, it's that it's such a difficult thing to move a needle of such a mammoth task, especially with so many stakeholders. So all this doesn't sit only with your department. It's provincial, it's local government, and all the agencies as well. So very, very difficult to move all at the same time.
I am optimistic, Tumelo, for a few reasons.
Yeah.
Firstly, I'm optimistic because we're being frank and honest about the current situation. You can't improve until you're honest about where you are. So, and if you are honest and frank about where you are, you're 50% of the way to getting better. And the fact that we are producing these very honest, very scientific blue, green and no-drop reports, and that the government is committed to doing that. We're going to be releasing more of these reports at the end of this year and over the next 2 years as well. Shows that government is committed to providing the public with honest, factual information about the situation, even if it makes government look bad.
Yeah. And I mean, so I suppose also the commitment by the presidency, it is one of his major priorities, as he mentioned at the State of the Nation's address as well.
Yes, exactly. And then the second reason why I'm optimistic is that there's quite a high level of consensus in the water sector. Between ourselves, most municipalities, municipal leadership, the Department of Cooperative Governance, the National Treasury, and the Presidency, about what the key causes of the problems are and what needs to be done about it. And we're working closely together. So between ourselves and National Treasury and the Presidency, we're all implementing reforms. We're doing it through amendments to the Water Services Act, which will be going to Parliament shortly. National Treasury is doing it through the reform of Metropolitan Trading Services Program, which is providing incentives to metropolitan municipalities to ring fence their water and sanitation function and create single point accountability. And the national and the presidency through its Operation Vulindlela program is also going to be working with us to implement very similar reforms in the water sector. So I think with this high level of consensus, and by the way, there's also a lot of consensus amongst business leaders and civil society leaders that these are the key issues and that these are the key things that need to be done to address them.
And while that is happening, I want to ask you whether, you know, has that then improved in the level of commitment businesses willing to make to step in more? And I know, obviously, business has been around and they've raised concerns, as you're saying, there's consensus on what needs to be done. Is it starting to yield some sort of more better commitment from business to partner with government in some of the water projects that government is embarking on?
So, Tumelo, there's two ways that we want to work with business and industry. The one is what we call non-commercial partnerships.
Yeah.
And that, for example, we're doing with the mining houses.
Yes.
For example, in Limpopo, we have a very big project where a new huge water pipeline is being built from one of the dams to an area where they want to expand mining. But there's a lot of communities along this pipeline who don't yet have piped water. They've never had piped water. And so we've partnered with the mines, and we're both putting in half the money. It's about 13 billion rand each, us and the mines, and that's going to result in the construction of this pipeline as well as the distribution of water to the communities along that pipeline.
Okay.
So the it's a partnership, mm. and it's non-commercial in the sense that the mining houses aren't making any money out of the investment, apart from providing themselves with water. Mm. But then we also have commercial partnerships. Now that is where we want private sector finance and expertise involved in the water sector. Mm. And then understandably, if you're going to get the banks and the pension funds to invest in water projects, they have to get a return on that investment.
Yeah.
So that's what we call commercial projects. Now, the banks and the pension funds have been telling us and continue to tell us that they would love to invest much more in the water sector.
Mm.
Internationally, investing in things like water is seen as investing in utilities. It's seen as a safe, good investment for things like pension funds.
Mm.
But the real challenge is to get the municipalities to bring bankable projects to the market.
Mm.
And in that regard, we're working with SAGA and the DBSA. We've set up a water partnerships office, and we're offering support to municipalities to do feasibility studies and to develop tender documents for bankable projects to bring them to the market.
All right. Well, thank you and all the best with the following day of the summit. And thank you very much for making time for us, especially after such a long day. Thank you, Dr. Phillips.
Thank you very much, Tamela.
Thank you. Director General at the Department of Water and Sanitation, Dr. Sean Phillips. What I think we'll do is on Monday, we'll sort of try and get a recap of how the 2 days have gone. So stay tuned. The summit continues tomorrow, and I think it's starting off on a good note.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.